goes a long way, and there's Howard with the save to deny Mertesacker. This time Germany to score is Thomas Müller. It is 1-0 to Germany.
Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we bring you our World Cup Player Spotlight featuring Mr. Thomas Müller, star for the German national team. Joining me as always, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and tonight, the great Susie Schaff from MiaSunRot.com and The Short Pass joining us tonight to help break down Mr. Müller. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Susie, I'm going to start with you and ask you about your ties covering German football and specifically Bayern Munich, where Thomas Müller's made his home for many, many years.
Oh, gosh. It's kind of a long story, but I'll try and keep it a little short for you guys. I started following the Fort Lauderdale Strikers when Gerd Müller was playing for them. Funny how that last name is coming into play today. So that was in the late 70s. And after we figured out he played for Bayern Munich, and then half of my family is Bavarian, we just kind of went with it from there, our fandom or the family fandom, as far as how we were in the United States. We watched soccer made in Germany on PBS growing up. And I first got to see a Bayern Munich live match in 1984. It's been carrying on from there. So I started writing about DFB. It's been 10 years now from SoccerNet, which is now ESPN FC. And obviously, I specialize in DFB and Bayern Munich.
And certainly, I mean, Bayern Munich is going to be a big mention for such a really a talented player like Thomas Müller, who, you know, really made his name there for now almost 10 years since his international debut. I mean, looking into his career real quick, I mean, he's won many titles, you know, that, you know, many great Germans haven't done as well. But he's won, you know, he's won the treble with Bayern Munich. He's won, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Bundesliga. He's won Pokals, Super Cups, UEFA Super Cup, Club World Cup, and of course the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, where he was one of the best players out there, and he really was a sensation. 5 goals scored, 10 goals total in the World Cup. Now, you know, for some reason, and I'm going to ask Joe this real quick. I mean, we know how big the consistency Thomas Müller has been having for various seasons. I mean, you know, he's been doing this at the top for, you know, I would say, yeah, since the start of this decade, I would say, when he bursted into the scene at Bayern Munich. I mean, he has 104 goals. Sorry, he has 192 goals in 475 games. I mean, he consistently puts up numbers, but for some reason, and perhaps it kind of makes sense given the talent that he has at Bayern Munich for many, many years. For some reason, we don't see him in those conversations as one of the best strikers in the world with, like, I don't know, like a Harry Kane or a Luis Suarez or a Lewandowski.
You know why?
Go ahead, Susie.
He looks like a baby giraffe when he plays. He's all arms and skinny legs and limbs, and everything is askew. And he doesn't look like a traditional footballer. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of the reason why, like, what you would say would be like a conventional striker looks like at all.
Right.
But I think, you know, the one thing for me with Thomas Müller that is really for him, I think, is a gift. He doesn't score the fancy goal, in my opinion. You know, the majestic goal where he dribbles through 6-7 people and, you know, does some crazy bicycle kick to you know, score a goal. His goals are the typical poacher's goals, the guy that is always in the right spot at the right moment in time to finish, and he finishes. And that is the key with Thomas Muller over many of the other great goal scorers we have in the world, is he is always, always, always in position to score. And it speaks to more of the intelligence of Thomas Muller as a footballer than it does the skill set of Thomas Muller as the footballer. Because for me, I've always found his positioning to be very cerebral. He's always in the right place at the right time, Rob.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know if it's cerebral. I mean, like, he's not consciously thinking about it. I don't think.
Instinctful,
like,
then.
It's just an innate sort of knowledge. Yeah, does that make any sense?
Instinct.
He
knows. It's almost like in his soul where he knows where to be, you know?
Right.
And that's the thing with Muller. And for me, it speaks to his abilities overall. So, but looking at him since the last World Cup, obviously we're talking about a great goal scorer, a great goal scorer that actually from my literature, my research leading into this podcast, turned down Manchester United in 2014 after the World Cup, where Man U pursued him and decided to stay at Bayern. Since then, you know, one of, I guess, if you want to call it a black mark on his career, missed a shootout penalty versus Italy in the 2016 Euros, which was the first miss in a major competition in Germany since the 1982 World Cup. I thought that one was pretty interesting. But otherwise, the guy's only won 4 Bundesliga titles. He's won a Pokal. He's won a couple of Super Cups. He was actually the top assist man in the 2017-2018 Bundesliga season. So, you know, this is a man, and this was the stat, that the assist part was the part that I found intriguing, because we always associate goal scoring and finishing with Thomas Muller. I never thought he'd be the top assist guy, Susie.
Yeah, actually, it's not a bad gig at Bayern Munich. You know, if you're looking at it from club rather than from country, he tends to perform a little bit more on the goal side and less on the assist side. He's got a lot of top strikers, and he's okay. He calls himself Raumdeuter, right? Which is space investigator. So he pops up when you'd least expect him to. Mm-hmm. But when he doesn't, he's also drawing defenders away from other forward players that can create goals. So he's just kind of he's a little bit of a hazard, or somebody you always have to try and keep your eye on, even though you never are fully able to.
Right. Now, I want to run over to you, Rob, because I want to talk about his strengths and his weaknesses, especially when we compare him to other great German players. And really, you know, like I said, I called him cerebral before, but obviously we went to instinctive as a player. Where would you rate him in terms of instinct and his quality versus some of the past German greats, like the current highest goal scorer or the person that holds the lead right now in Miroslav Klose, scored 16 goals in the World Cup. Another perfect, you know, wonderful finisher, both for club and country. We had Gerd Müller, Franz Beckenbauer, Lothar Matthäus. I mean, you know, we've had so many good players, even goalkeeping, Oliver Kahn, we've got Manuel Neuer now. But we've had some wonderful, wonderful German talent over the years. Where does Thomas Muller rank for you, Rob, in that list?
Whew. I mean, it's tough. I mean, when you're comparing, I guess, players of all positions, yeah, I mean, maybe he falls off second tier, maybe just on the edge of first tier, just because of all the competition that he had. I think in his position, definitely in the top tier. Absolutely. That I think when you're looking at such a player, and to do this at such an early age, I mean, yes, he has 10 goals in the World Cup. He only needs 7 more to serve, so 6 more to match Miroslav Klose. And to become the all-time top goal scorer. He's only 28 years old, mind you. And, you know, here's who's not to say that he can't do this at this World Cup, because we could see he was able to do it in 2010 and score 5 goals there, then do it again in Brazil. You know, and rightly so. I mean, yeah, he could definitely be one of the greatest players that Germany has ever produced. And, you know, it's going to be tough to try to match, I guess, those types of players like Klose and Muller or someone else like Matthäus and Kahn as well, although Kahn never won a World Cup, but he was still one of the best goalkeepers of all time. It's going to be tough for him, but I think now, especially in the modernization of football, I think he's in a really good position to really prove to himself that he is one of the best German forwards, attackers of all time. I mean, yeah, he's in a great position. You know, he's still 28 years old. He's still in the prime, and he's already about to play his third World Cup. I think that's what's impressive for me, is that he's just so experienced, and he's already done so much stuff in his career that, you know, you kind of have to think to yourself, what else more do we have to prove? Because he's already won the World Cup for Germany. He's already won basically the treble and mainly every trophy in Germany with Bayern Munich. I mean, yeah, he's literally done something that most players in a lifetime have not been able to do, and he's been able to do this in the span of, I would say, yeah, more than nearly a decade. And I guess that's what proves and what really stands him out. And of course, he's a great personality. I think that's always going to be something that that's going to probably separate himself with all the other German players that have been that we've been blessed to see over the last few decades, I would say. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. But, you know, there is something that's going to be really important, because this German side is full of so much depth. And, we, you know, we were talking about this the other day about how a player like Leroy Sané, you know, a great talent, he had a sensational season with Manchester City, is left out. And you see players like Brandt come in, Guidi, Goretzka. You look at Müller here, obviously one of the more experienced players, one of the few to be in the squad that is going to play a third World Cup with the likes of Ozil, Neuer, and Boateng, among others. You know, I'll jump to you with this one, Joe. I mean, you know, looking at how Joachim Löw has already used Müller for basically the entirety of his German career, you know, we've seen him play as a center forward or on the left, or definitely as that striker, which I think is going to be suited for a player like Timo Werner. I just want to ask, you know, how does Thomas Müller integrate in such a really talented side in the coaching style and formation Joachim Löw is trying to employ?
I think he plays almost as a reserve striker for me, and I'm going to defer to Susie's expertise on this one, because I think she'll have a better handle on it. But for me, as a reserve striker, especially with a young talent like Timo Werner, to be honest with you, and I want to throw this over to you, Susie, I almost would have liked to have seen Thomas Müller play with a Lewandowski-ish type player, and for me, that would have been someone like Sandro Wagner his name is escaping me, Mario Gomez. You know, somebody with maybe a little bit of a bigger body, maybe somebody could play a little bit more of a point striker that Müller could feed off of. But not to say that Werner's not capable. I mean, he's a wonderful talent. So Susie, for you, how does he integrate into Jurgen Löw's his plans, and how does he integrate with Timo Werner?
You know, it's so interesting, because for country, he's generally positioned as a right wing in a 4-2-3-1, right? And when he plays it for Bayern on the right, it's a mess for most times. The pitch gets very narrow when he plays on the right for Bayern, because he's constantly cutting in and getting into the box. Mm-hmm. So it tends to narrow the pitch a lot and make everything smaller and a lot tighter. But for the national team, it seems to work with Jogi Löw. you know, you'd kind of want him as a 10 maybe, but Mesut Özil plays brilliant for the German national team in that position, and there's no reason to kick him out of it. So you got to find a place for Müller, so he plays on the right. Luckily for him, he had Philipp Lahm, which is probably maybe the best right back in history, behind him for a good number of years, and now you have Joshua Kimmich there. Not as good defensively yet, but still a spark plug that can handle that whole side.
Yeah, and the, you know, Kimmich's talent is really in the fact that I've always enjoyed his transition play and turning into attack, and I think that's where he probably accents a guy like Thomas Müller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
absolutely, and especially with the national team. Like I said, I don't think it works as well on the club level, but for country, it tends to get the job done.
No doubt about it. So, you know, looking forward, Thomas Müller, like we had mentioned, he scored 10 goals in the World Cup competition. He's currently eighth in that position behind the 16 from Miroslav Klose. But looking at the other active players, it's amazing to see that the people that are pursuing him are guys like Tim Cahill, Gonzalo Higuain, Luis Suarez, and Lionel Messi, and they all only have 5 goals each. You know, so going forward, is this the kind of year that Muller can possibly, will Muller get closer to Klose? Or will the guy?
Yeah, he's not going to surpass Klose at this World Cup. I mean, if he does, trust me, I'll be hopping up and down and crying and screaming and drinking a lot of Jägermeister. But it's not necessarily realistic that it will happen here.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that it will happen in Qatar.
Yeah. I mean, it would take a deep run, and to do it in this World Cup would take a deep run all the way to the final match and some high scoring games, I would think, right? Some 3-0s, some 4-0s mixed in there, I think would be the right recipe.
Yeah, no. I mean, honestly, guys, what do you think? How far does Germany get? Semifinals at least?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. I think anything below that is failure.
Is it, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So a really good opportunity to score some goals.
Sure.
I don't know. I think he puts up, can I call it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
He puts up 4 goals
in this
tournament.
And that's still good. That's still really good for a player. And he's going to be at 14, meaning that he only needs 2 to match close in the next World Cup.
Exactly.
Which means Germans will be watching with bated breath at the 2022 one, that's for sure.
I've been known to be wrong before.
I think 4 goals is very realistic for him on this German side. I do think that's not a stretch goal. Do you know what I mean? I think that's something that is certainly obtainable by the likes of a Thomas Muller for sure. Let me ask you my final question of the night. Obviously, without talking about World Cup goal scoring records that we've been talking about, what does Thomas Muller need to do to accent what this German team already has and win a World Cup in this tournament?
Gosh, you know, so this was the question, and I got questions. I'm just letting listeners know before this podcast. So this was kind of the question that I was really kind of struck on or struck over or not quite sure how to answer. You know what? To be perfectly fair, Thomas Müller just needs to be Thomas Müller. I think if he occupies space the way that he does season in and season out, and especially with the German national team, disregarding Euro a couple years ago, it's a natural thing. It should be an evolving creative project like it's always been when it gets to the forwards in Germany.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, of course, you know, there is the big possibility that, you know, currently Germany are second favorites to win the World Cup behind Brazil, according to some of the bookies. But, you know, I mean, we know what it would mean, especially at least in something that is so rare nowadays to repeat as world champions. And for Germany to lift that fifth star to be equal with Brazil as the most successful country in the world. But I will ask you this, Susie. I mean, what would this World Cup, especially, you know, we knew what it was like for him 4 years ago in Brazil and how big of an impact it's had on him, on the German team, and really essentially just his career in whole. But what would a second World Cup, a second consecutive World Cup mean, not only just for Thomas Muller and his career and his legacy for the country, but what would it mean for, you know, just putting him as one of the greatest German players of all time?
I mean, really, if they repeat in Russia, that has to be your best German squad ever, right? Mm. Like, there's no denying it. You know, you get 2 cups in 4 years, you're automatically the best people ever. right? Because it was 54, then 20 years later, 74, and then 1990, and now 2014. So if you get 2018 with the same core group of players, they have to go down as one of the, if not the best squads in history. Absolutely.
And, you know, that kind of ties into my next question to you, Joe. I mean, yes, we learn about great teams of the past. You know, we talk about Brazil 70 or you know, the Spain of 2010 that won a World Cup and 2 Euros in that generation. You know, if Germany are to repeat as world champions here in Russia, where would they be put into as one of the greatest teams of all time, maybe club and of country level? And where would that put Thomas Müller as one of the greatest German players of all time? And, you know, as blasphemous as it seems, because, of course, there is that big possibility. Where do you think you would put him as one of the greatest players of all time for, after achieving such a big feat like this?
Well, on the team level, I think I think Susie's 100% right, and I think you have to take this German team and put them as one of the greatest footballing teams, one of the dynasties of world football. Keep in mind this in at the World Cup competition, this team in this century, this German national team has played on the final weekend every tournament. You know, runners up in 2002, third place in 2006, third place in 2010, champions in 2014. We're talking about playing again on the weekend in 2018 on the final weekend. I don't know of a team that would have accomplished that. And really, to come back from what many would have considered is the quote unquote ashes of this team, you know, in 94-98 finishing in the quarterfinals after a great run prior to that, this team would have to go up there as one of the greatest footballing teams of all time. What would it do for Müller's career? I don't know that it would elevate Müller's career to the Messi, Ronaldo type levels. The problem with Müller's play is that he's a team oriented player. And again, like we started out, Thomas Müller's not a flashy player. Susie said he plays like a giraffe, right?
So yeah, so it's, baby giraffe, yeah,
baby giraffe. Yes, not quite as tall, but it also means that he's not that flashy guy that's out there and in your face all the time. And I think, I guess if you want to call it quote unquote hurting his legacy, then I guess that hurts his legacy. But for me, he's going to go down as one of the silent assassins in world football, where, you know, you don't think much of him, you know, and again, whether it be physical appearance or flashiness or anything like that. But in the end, you're going to open up the books, look at the numbers and go, my God, this guy is done it all and he's crushed it. And he deserves to be, you know, mentioned in some of those higher places with some of those greater players that we've seen come through over the years, and doing it in this era where we really have some of the best footballers in the world playing right now. We're watching.
I think,
go ahead.
Oh no, please. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying we're really in an era right now where we're seeing some of the greatest footballers we'll ever see. And this is a man who is scoring prolifically in this climate.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So my kind of take on if Thomas Müller gets the golden boot or silver boot again, right, mm-hmm. from right. the last two tournaments,
right.
and Germany celebrates, like, it will never be looked at as that wonderful, even though I hate to say it, Spain squad.
Okay, I get what you're saying,
right? Because they're flashy and they're more personable and they're more individual players, mm-hmm. where a lot of the German national team, it's just like it's a team system, and it's, you know, you may be able to pick out certain players in certain matches, but it's kind of like Legos. You can put them all together and Yogi Love lets them go. And this is very strange because I have been a huge critic of Love's tactics mm-hmm. over the years. And only last summer when they did the Confederations Cup did I start to relax a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, looking back at this team, you want to look at everything. They won the Confederations Cup in 17, semifinalists in the Euros in 16 and 12, runners-up in 2008. You go to the World Cup competitions, and like I said, this entire century playing on that final weekend, runners-up in 02, champions in 14. You know, I get what people are saying about that Spain team because they won 2 Euros that sandwiched a World Cup title in 2010. So I understand that because their dominance goes for 8 years and it's complete dominance. But
right.
But the longevity here, I mean, we're talking about 18 years.
Yeah, and the best part about that is the U21 squad is as good.
Right.
I mean, there's no the way that Germany rebuilt their national team system and their squad system. Obviously, you could see it pay off last summer when they won U21 Euro and Confederation Cup, splitting players between the two teams and not starting most of the starters that are going to Russia next week.
Right.
And there's something to be said for that. So a guy like Sané, who misses out, is definitely going to be in consideration for Euro in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I think a guy like him, he probably hurt his chances making this squad by having nasal surgery last summer during Confederation Cup.
Right. Right. And
Yogi Love has this weird, he's a guru, but he likes loyalty. And, you know, there's always this weird sort of question, like, who he should bring and who he does bring. But after 2014, what do you say? You can't fault the guy for any decision that he makes at this point.
No, not at all. I agree with you 100%. Susie and Rob, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down the great Thomas Muller as he makes his journey to Russia for the 2018 World Cup. So again, this week in football for the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. This was your World Cup player spotlight, Thomas Muller. I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening and good night.